trying to make sense of the Giants' 38-11 loss to the Los Angeles Rams. David Turner joins us next on the Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On podcast family, your team every day. And thank you so much for making the Locked On Giants podcast your first listen of the day. My name is Patricia Traina, and as always, after the day after a game, I am joined by David Turner, former NFL scout, personnel guy, helps me break down and make sense or try to make sense of what we see on Sunday. And the New York Giants on Sunday, 38-11 to the Los Angeles Rams in, I don't know if there's a word to describe it, fugly.
You stole my word.
I stole your, I'm sorry. I mean, hey, listen, it is what it is, but seriously though, this, I don't know what to think anymore. I mean, they're not getting any better. They're doing the same mistakes, and then they're getting, you know, the injuries are piling up. I mean, David, where do we start with this team?
Well, let's talk about them limping in. Okay, they didn't have a great roster walking into the building today. You know, Tony was on one leg. Barkley was out. You know, you have Galloway out. Shepard was back, so that was good. But then they, you know, they come into the game and they don't use the 12 personnel setting, which is two tight ends. It's like, why are you not using Rudolph and Ingram together, and then put Tony and Shepard on the outside, and then you got Booker in the backfield? Like, it makes no sense to a man like me why the 12 personnel package isn't their staple package. And it's something that Jason's familiar with, because when he was in Dallas, he used it a lot. And, you know, it's just awful. But before we get too heavily into that, I just think when you talk about walking in the building, man, you're going up against one of the most high-powered offenses, and they were, for the most part, healthy. And you know what? You did everything to lose the game. They didn't even look that crisp. They didn't look that good. Yeah, they scored 38 points, but we'll get into how many short fields and how many turnovers and all that stuff that gave them the opportunity. I mean, the Rams did not look like the Rams from last week or the week before. They, you know, even their head coach threw the headset at halftime because he was mad about the way the offense wasn't looking really well. And he said to one of the commentators on TV, you know, the defense is carrying us right now. Our offense isn't off the schneid. And he had scored like 31 points or whatever, I mean, at halftime. So, you know, he could tell his team wasn't playing well. But the Giants were just doing everything to give him the game. And it was just, yeah, like I said, they walked in needing to have a perfect game, and they played far from it.
At this point, I mean, every week, you know, it's the same spiel. We got to clean it up. We got to be better. We got to coach better. We got to do this. We got to do that. It's not happening. So at this point, why is it not happening? Is it just they don't have the personnel? They don't have the coaching? They don't have the right schemes? What is missing that they can't seem to get this fixed?
All of the above. Remember the old Brewster Millions? All of the above. Vote for all of the above. Or none of the above. That's what his mind's all the above. So going through that question, do they have the personnel? They're hurting. I mean, they're injured. Their defense is not. You know, the defense, Peppers was back. They don't seem to be as banged up as they were 2 weeks ago. You know, they seem to be okay there. Leonard Williams came out playing really good at the beginning part of the game, getting pressure, and, you know, had, I think, two sacks in the first quarter. I can't put that the defense is banged up to the point where I would say, you know, every team, again, understand this, Giants fan, when I'm saying this, every team, that 32 teams, have banged up people right now. Like if you're this deep six games into a season, you got injuries. So when I say they're not that banged up, you know, they're not. They don't have a mass unit on defense. You know, they're not like missing 12 starters or anything, you know? So they got people over there. They can play. I know the linebackers aren't their starters, but again, every team's dealing with injuries and they're going to be dealing with them the rest of the way. That's the way it goes by this time in the season. On the offense, as we talked about, Patricia, the offensive line is a freaking hodgepodge, mishmash of freaking guys. They didn't do enough in the offseason to address it. And then, you know, Thomas is hurt. He tried to gut it out today and play, couldn't. Soldiers got hurt on like the third play of the game. And then he came back in, played right tackle, and they put the cream puff out at left tackle. I don't know what that was about. But I mean, you know, I guess somebody needed a sugar injection or something to put him at left tackle today. And I don't get that decision. You know, again, I don't care if they practice him or not. He should never be on the left side ever. I mean, he shouldn't be on the football field, shouldn't be on the team. But left side, no, never. Put Soldier over there and put the cream puff on the right side.
And of course, you're talking about Matt Parrott for those who don't know.
Yeah. Parrot, cream puff, same. It's interchangeable. Yeah. Just put that on. You know, if the Skibas were still there, I would tell them to put it on the back of his jersey.
Oh, my goodness.
Puff. You know, because it is. It's just embarrassing.
That was a curious decision, because I can say for a fact that Parrot did work at left tackle this past week in practice. But you would think, excuse me, with the game on, you know, the game being played, okay, Andrew Thomas goes out with a foot injury. Rather than experiment, you know, because Parrott hasn't played left tackle a whole lot, I don't think he has practiced there a whole lot. He has played right tackle his college career. He has practiced there his entire college career. Nate Solder, meanwhile, has played mostly left tackle his whole NFL career. I didn't understand that decision either. And the only thing I can think of is they wanted Solder to handle Leonard Floyd.
Yeah, how'd that go for him?
It didn't.
Yeah. So, you know, good job. So we'll go into the second part of your question, which is coaching. And what we're seeing right now is that they're not being coached to win the games. You know, they're not making coaching decisions to win the games. I know it's rough. It's a tough pill to swallow, Giants fans, because I'm one of you. And I get so frustrated watching the games because they're not getting coached to win the game. You know, start on offense. Jason Garrett, again, his play calls, his personnel settings, not underutilizing, you know, Kyle Rudolph is just absolutely offensive. I mean, I just don't know why, you know, Rudolph seems to be shunned. He had two targets today, one catch. 8 yards. That was a tough 8 yards that he got. I mean, you know, Pettis, who came off the practice roster or whatever, or practice squad today, wound up with 11 targets and only 5 catches. Guess what, Giants fan? Go rewind some episodes. I'm the one who said cut Pettis at the beginning of this damn thing because he sucks. And guess what? He still sucks. And he's going to always suck. And therefore, he should be gone. He shouldn't be on the team. But yet, here we go. We got to deal with Pettis and his bull crap. You know, and then you got Ingram had 5 targets for, you know, 3 catches today, 24 yards. And then that's another one that needs to be just gone. I mean, you know, in a game like this, Ingram should have been targeted. Honestly, Ingram should have been targeted 11 times. 11 times. You know, the Rams don't have great linebackers to cover tight ends. So that's why I said use 12 personnel. And Ingram get 11 targets, Rudolph get 7 or 8 targets, and then Shepard get his 14. And if Tony was still healthy, let him get another 5 or 6. I mean, you let Daniel Jones throw 51 flipping times. So, I mean, there's enough balls to be going around at that point. You only ran the ball 12 times, which I don't freaking get. I mean, when you got a game like this, you want to slow it down. You want to keep their offense off the field, run the ball. But no, we're going to, you know, and then we get down in the red zone and we let Penny run the ball, which screwed my fantasy team. So, Jason, you get an extra venom for that, you know, because Booker was on my team and you could have ran him and got him the ball. But whatever, you know, go Penny. Sure, Jason. So nice of you. Us fantasy owners really aren't really happy with you, Jason, at all.
I don't think Jason cares, but anyway.
He doesn't at all, but I'm just putting it out there.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. So, all right. So we have coaching, we have personnel. I got to ask this. I know you're a Dave Gettleman guy. How much of this is on him?
The offensive line to me is on Gettleman. Okay. He loved his young guys. He said it to the press, everybody. He said, I really believe in these young guys. He didn't do enough in the offseason to get either another veteran or draft some guys. And then you saw right at the end of training camp, they went and got Price and another guy, traded for him there because he realized, hey, this isn't going to work. He just waited too late. And when, offensive linemen, when you're that, late in the game, it's hard to find them, especially tackles. And this team's tackles are atrocious. So, and I can't say Thomas is atrocious. When he's healthy, he was playing pretty good. Okay. But the right tackle position just wasn't addressed well enough. And all the experimentation on the inside at guards and stuff and moving people around, I put that on Dave and the staff to not to just see it and address it better. Even in the draft, you could have addressed it better. Just draft a right tackle. There were a few this year that really could have stepped in and been really good staple right tackles. And he believed in the cream puff too much. So that part I'll put on him. The rest of it though, like the defense doing this bend, don't break crap, the special teams haven't gotten creative at all. There's like no creativity on special teams and the head coach, the special teams coach. It seems like he's more worried about having his red, white, and blue sleeves on than anything else at this point. So, I'm just like, and then I can go all night on the offense. So,
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned special teams. For what it's worth, you thought special teams would be better given Joe Judge's background. And sometimes you wonder if maybe if he backed off a little bit and let Thomas McGahee do his job, without the interference, would they be better? I mean, the unit wasn't horrible. On my report card, I gave them the highest grade out of all the units. I mean, all the units got Fs. Special teams, I gave a C because, they fell asleep at the switch on that fake punt and they got bailed out by the offsetting penalties. But, special teams, they've been a strength for the team. And ever since Joe's come, they've kind of gone backwards. And I don't know if it's because they're changing things up or what's going on there. But, and plus, Riley Dixon now today he had I thought a pretty good game, but he's been inconsistent. So not sure what's going on there, but I want to stay on the offense if I could, because I've got to ask you, do you think that they're starting to develop almost an over-reliance on Kadarius Toney, similar to what they had with Odell Beckham Jr. when he was here?
No, I honestly think that's Shepard's role still. I mean, if you look at I know last week when Toney was healthy and Shepard wasn't on the field, Toney got all the touches, right? Well, here we see Shepard having all the touches, and they don't have, again, Galladay's not there. Toney wasn't on the field today. They only really had Shepard and Pettis. Slayton's not on the field, right? So, I mean, a lot of their weapons are in the barn, so they can't take them out and play with them. So it's hard to say something like that, but I still think Shepard is the crutch for Daniel Jones. And that's why if I'm Jason, I'm really trying to dial up tight end stuff right now. And especially against this team, the Rams don't cover the tight end really well. And he should have known that. And there should have been a game plan for that. So that was one thing when I was watching. I'm like, why are you not? And I'm not an Ingram fan. Everybody here knows. I already said it once tonight. Cut them. Get rid of them, right? But in this kind of game, when you know they don't cover the tight end well, then line it up and get after them. Like I said, put the 12 personnel in, put the 22 personnel in, make their linebackers cover, which is something they don't do well. I think they have good corners and safety. So, I think their back end plays well. And obviously they have the up front to pass rush, but I don't think their linebackers cover well. So that should have been a major part in the game planning today. And I can say this, guys and gals, because I'm watching the film, I'm watching the game, and I can see the routes that they're asking the tight ends to run. And those are, they're not primary routes. They're secondary routes. They're clearing zones so the receiver can work behind them or something. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about making them primary routes so the receiver clears and the tight end comes behind them. They did it a couple times with early with Ingram, and then Daniel Jones got picked off. Remember, 24 sat in the hole. They, you know, and again, it's like, okay, they're keen on Ingram. Go to freaking Rudolph. You know, open it up. Like, go both. You got two tight ends. Go both ways. And especially once Tony went down, they just started really keying on Ingram. And again, I just watched create. Like, I watched McVay on the other sideline. Very creative play caller. Find ways to get his guys open. I mean, everybody knows Cooper Kupp's going to get a bunch of touches and raw and Woods and everything. And Kupp had like 130 yards today, two touchdowns and on 9 receptions, you know, he made sure his guys got his touches. And Woods, you know, early had 5 targets, but only 2 catches and a touchdown. I mean, he knows how to feed his guys. Yeah. And that's the difference. You know, he knows how to feed his guys, and our guy seems to get stuck on one mouth to feed it.
All right, Giant fans, we have more coming up on today's show. But first, today, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings you your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and TV shows all in one place. And the best part is there is no annual contract. So stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more about DirecTV Stream at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Let me ask you about Daniel, because Daniel, okay, I know he had a revolving door of offensive linemen, which, by the way, I am so totally against. It's one thing if he got injuries, but this rotation garbage has got to stop. And that drives me nuts. That said, okay, I did not think Daniel looked sharp tonight. I thought some of his post-snap reads were all over the place. Some of his decisions reminded me of, you know, the first 2 years of his career when he was, you know, erratic. What did you think when you watched Daniel?
He got out. I mean, he early, look at the first drive. First couple drives when Tony was in, you know, he looked okay. He was all right. Here we go, right? We got some momentum. But as soon as Tony went out, you could tell that was the focus of the game plan, was mm-hmm. Tony, Shepard, and Ingram. And then when Tony went out, you know, and the defense could kind of, you know, set back and try to take Ingram out a little bit, they stopped targeting him. And then he threw that interception to on the coverage. The underneath the zone where the guy just sat in the hole because he's staring Ingram down the whole time. I think it was number 24 got him. After that, he just stopped. He stopped really looking for, I mean, Ingram. And you know, it was just Shepard and Pettis, Shepard and Pettis, Shepard and Pettis, Shepard and Pettis. And I was like, you know, out of what he threw 51 times, 25 of them went to Shepard or Pettis, you know?
Yeah,
so right. Half the throws went to Shepard or Pettis. Yeah. And Pettis, again, 11 targets and 5 receptions. People understand that's terrible. At least Shepard was targeted 14 times and had 10 receptions. So, you know, at least he caught the damn ball when it got to him. Mm-hmm. You know, and then Booker not being more of the in the game plan. And Booker only touched the ball 12 times or 16 times between runs and passes, 12 runs, 4 passes, catches. Mm-hmm. You know, he had 28 yards receiving and he had 41 yards, you know, running. And that, I know you're down and everything, but you got to work the screen game. You got to work your wheel routes and stuff. Cause again, you can use Booker. He's such a good pass receiving back. You can use him for your benefit in this case when they don't have linebackers that cover well, you know, or you can motion them out and make them like use bump Ramsey off to him, which then would free up somebody else because of just the coverage. It's that chess match. Like if I use this formation and I motion Booker out of the backfield, Ramsey's going to bump off my number one receiver and go cover, you know, go cover him. And then now I just freed up my number one, you know, maybe a linebacker or a safety goes to cover Shepherd. Now I got it. Here's my mismatch. Here we go. Use him as a decoy. But we don't see that kind of creativity with Jason. And so with Daniel, you know, today, I think he was shell-shocked. I mean, they were getting to him. They were hitting him. He, you know, I was surprised he played, being frank, after that bell ringing he took last week. Mm-hmm. You know, I was really surprised to see him out there this week. And then getting hit as much as he was getting hit. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's your franchise. Again, as a coach, when it was, you know, I mean, they pulled Stafford at the beginning of the fourth quarter and Daniel Jones played the whole damn game. Yeah. And it was just like,
I did like that. Yeah. I actually dinged the coach for that. I'm like, you know, it wasn't like Daniel was going to bring him back from, you know, especially late in the fourth quarter, I would have pulled him. And he did take a couple of big hits towards the end of the game there. And I'm sitting there going, dude, what are you doing, man? Why is he in there?
Yeah. Part of being a head coach or a coach at all is management. That's a management position. Managing your players, managing your roster. And again, this is week six. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a 17-week season. So even if you wave the white flag on this battle, you got 11 more games to go. Like, you can turn this around, but if that shot caller, if that guy goes down, if you keep him in and he takes a shot to the head again and now he's out 2 to 3 weeks because of the protocol, you're waving the white flag on multiple games. So manage this individual by saying, listen, it's 11, you know, we got 5 or 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, just pull him. Mm. You know, put Glennon in, say it is what it is, guys. You know what I mean? I'm not going to have the star out there while you guys can't protect him. We can't run the ball. I got an offensive coordinator that, you know, only knows who receivers are. We got to send them Christmas cards for the freaking tight ends. you know, so it's like, it is what it is. And I get tired of bashing on Jason because I love him. I mean, him and his brother Judd were two of the first people I met in the NFL. And like I said, their dad, Jack, had me out to the house and everything. But right now, Jason, you need to do better. You need to do better. And, you know, Judge, you need to do better. You know, managing this roster, managing game situations, you know, managing your coaches, you got to do better. There is talent on this team. We can tell Dave to take one on the chin for the offensive line, which is a big one to take on the chin. But you have all these receivers. Even with injuries, you have Shepherd, you have Pettis, you have, you know, Ingram, and you have Rudolph on the field. You have Penny, you have Booker. You have people you can dial up and go to right now. And you're not.
Yeah.
That's a choice.
Well, it goes back. You and I have talked about this too, about Jason not adjusting. If something happens or he has to go off script, it's like, what do I do? You know? And we have talked about that several times this season on this show about Jason not being able to adjust. And that is a problem. And it makes you wonder if at some point you might see Freddie Kitchens, who I know you don't want to see, but you might see him maybe getting more involved with the play calling.
Nobody wants to see that. No, nobody wants to see that.
Well, maybe Joe does. Who knows? You know, well, he
if Joe wants to see that, then you know what? Go look at what happened just look what happened over in Cleveland when Freddie was doing it. And when Freddie was in the building, and now look what's happening in Cleveland, where they're getting a lot more production out of the same dang group that they had.
Yeah.
So again, I'm not just trying to be a negative ninny every time I come on here, but Freddie Kitchens isn't the answer. You know what I mean? Getting more out of Jason Garrett, sitting with Jason, doing more with him, working with him, bringing in consultants, whatever you need to do is a better answer. If you're allowing the room to undermine your head coach or undermine your offensive coordinator, you got to be thinking about how you're managing people.
Right.
you got to be supporting him every which way he needs support. And like I said, I'm available, but if it is an outside consultant, if it's somebody that Jason trusts that he needs to bring in right now, you got 11 games. This is a thing where you're fixable, right? It's Washington lost today. Dallas won in a incredible game. Like New England's coaches, New England's coaches coached their A's off today. Like they did not have the talent that Dallas has, and they made Dallas go to overtime to win that game. They coached their butts off today. Yeah. Those players played their butts off today. I was really impressed with that. But this isn't a Dallas show, so we're going to talk about Giants.
Yes.
And I'm now the division, though, it's still in reach.
Yeah. But that's slipping just, away. It's slipping away.
Well, so. Yeah, you're 1-5. You're 1-5. It's flying away. But again, I don't have it up right now. What's the divisional records? You know,
I think Dallas is what, 5-1. Washington, I think, is 2-4. And I think the Eagles are 2-4. Is that right? I'd have to look it up.
I'll look it up. You go ask the next question. I'm going
to
look.
Well, I was going to spin us off to defense, but let me see. I'm pretty sure Dallas is 5-1. You can make me look it up.
I'm trying to find it really quick.
I'll get it real quick. NFL standings. Let's see. All right, I got it. All right, so Dallas is 5-1. Washington and the Eagles are 2-4, and the Giants are 1-5. That's what I thought.
Yeah, so you got two 2-5 teams, right?
No, 2-4.
2-4 teams, 2-4 teams.
Right.
And you got a 1-5 team, and then Dallas is what, 5-1?
5-1.
Yeah. So, and if you look at the overall NFC, the Cards are still undefeated. You know, San Francisco's playing tough. But there's all I'm trying to say is there's a shot.
An outside shot.
It's a shot. You got to get in the bunker and not leave, not sleep, not do anything. Have a caffeine addiction right now and lack of sleep, bags under your eyes, and get after it. You know, if you really want it, if you want it bad enough, get in the lab and figure it out.
Well, it's going to probably take them the bye week to do it at this rate. But anyway, let's talk about the defense now.
Bye week. That's four more games away.
I know, but you know what?
By then it is gone.
That's what I see happening. You know, I mean,
The bye week, bye season, because I think it's four more games, right?
I think it's something like that. But
yeah, so if they go 1-9.
Which is a possibility
last week, which is possible. But if you go 1-9, those last 6-7 games ain't going to matter.
It's
bye bye birdie. You got to fix it tonight.
I know. But they got to get in the lab, like you said. All right. Let's talk about the defense now. All right. So let's see. Defensive stats. I have them in front of me here. So they had 2 sacks, none of which from the edge rushers. So Leonard Williams had a sack and a half, and Dexter Lawrence had the other sack. They had 4 quarterback hits. 2 interceptions, both by Xavier McKinney, who, by the way, dropped the 6th interception by a Giant defender. The Giants lead the league in that statistic. I checked that with Pro Football Focus. So they now have 6 dropped interceptions. And pass defense, 6 of them. Not getting enough from this defense. Let's start with the pass rush. Now, I was at the game, so I had benefit of seeing all 22. And I can't tell you how many times, and maybe you can explain the logic behind this, how many times Patrick Graham had the safety, whether it be Xavier McKinney or Logan Ryan, 20 to 25 yards off the ball. I mean, at that point, why don't you just play with 10 guys? What is the logic there? What am I missing?
I have no idea. I'll be honest with you. Like, the only time a guy should be that far back is in a third and 20 situation or a fourth and, you know, forever situation. I never, ever, ever have liked that call. Like, again, if it's a, say it's third down and 10, okay, and you plant your safety's heels on the 15 yards away from it, giving him a flat foot read where he can now see the field and not have to really backpedal too much, and he's coming forward, he's just, you know, breaking forward on slants or something, or if a receiver does start carrying him deep, he can turn and run. Like, cool, I get that. Totally understand that, because it gives him a better read of the field. But if you got to put a guy at 20 or 25 yards for him to read the field, nobody's fast enough to close on that. I mean, maybe Deion was, or Rod Woodson back in the early days, or, you know, something like that. But it's very rare to have a safety that's that fast that can break downhill and close. You know, I'm not sure which plays you're talking about because we weren't sitting together. But for me, you know, the Giants, as we talked about, I would have liked to seen more blitzing, more edge pressure. Now, you know, they have decent tackles. I'm not going to say they don't. They have decent tackles. But again, there was one loop that Leonard Williams ran, and he won. And, you know, he got home. It was one of his sacks. And I was like, ooh, I like that one. Do it again. And I don't think I saw it again. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you I didn't, because, you know, I'm watching, but I'm on TV. I'm watching. So, but I didn't, it didn't look like I saw that dialed up again. And I always am worried. I always get curious about that. And then when you are having interior rush ability, you know, getting home, why aren't you running some more A-gap pressures? Why aren't you running some linebackers through some holes or some safeties, like on a delayed blitz? Like, why is Peppers not coming on a delayed blitz? You know, stuff like that.
Why was he in coverage? That's not his strength.
No. And he was in coverage one time on Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
And I mean, was like,
mismatch. Hello.
That was the biggest WTF that I ever was like, I was like, that, when did that even sound like a good idea? Cooper Kupp, their number one target, their number one guy. And he got beat for like a 15-yard play. It was second.
And wasn't that on a third down too?
Yeah, it was either second or third down and long. It was like they had to get 10 or 12 yards or something. And he got 15 because he beat freaking, you know, he beat Peppers. But that's the kind of stuff where McVay finds ways to get mismatches, you know, through motions and moving his guys around a little bit and gets them open. But with our guy, he doesn't do that. And on defense, you know, when you have a Cooper Kupp, I just don't understand. We pay Bradbury all this money. It's like, dude, guess who you're covering today? All yeah. day.
Yeah.
And seriously, when somebody motions past him, you're staying on him. Okay. Like, if he goes this way, you go that way. You go this way, you go that. Like, you're getting paid all this money. Follow that guy and cover. Take their number one receiver away every week. You know, but you know, Graham likes to play this cover four type dome thing. You know, it's similar. I mean, it was really similar to what the Rams play. It's very similar kind of defense. It's just that, you know, our guys don't play this well.
Right, Giant fans, still more to come on today's show. But first, Built Bar is a healthy, low-carb, low-sugar, and high-protein treat that will satisfy your sweet tooth. Choose from 9 amazing flavors, plus the occasional limited-time offering available in nut and nut-free varieties. Visit BuiltBar.com and get 15% off your first order with the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com for 15% off your first order. All right, Giant fans, we have more coming up on today's show. But first, get all the latest news, odds, info, and sign-up bonuses for all your sporting needs by heading over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. When you open an account and use our special promo code NFL100, you'll get a 100% welcome bonus on your initial deposit. Again, that's code NFL100 for your 100% welcome bonus. Terms and conditions apply. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I mean, you look at this Giant defense, and I was talking with a colleague in the box tonight, and I said, and we were both saying, look, they basically have pretty much the same personnel as they had last year, except for Adoree Jackson, Okay. And they kind of, you know, they don't have Blake. We get it. But they basically have the same guys. Why? I mean, it's almost like we're looking at two different systems now, which is weird. It's like, why mess with what was working last year? And, you know, when you look at this, do you see a lot of differences in what Graham is doing this year versus what he did last year?
I feel like, again, last year, having Martinez in the middle of the field for Graham gave him a security blanket where he could get his guys to spill over the top or spill the running backs and outside, and Martinez would be there to clean it up and they would be able to, you know, make tackles. I also think that the line or the safeties filled better last year. For whatever reason, we're not seeing outside fills from their linebacker or from their safeties this year. So, you know, again, they gave up 131 yards rushing today. Another 100-yard game, you know, 365 yards passing. 234 yards passing, 365 of offense. You know, and the quarterback was done by the fourth quarter and he'd already thrown four touchdowns. So, you know, Graham needs, we've been saying it for weeks, Patricia. Graham needs to get more aggressive. He needs to, you know, take a cue from what Seattle's doing with their safety, play Peppers like that, play him more like a linebacker, blitz him, get pressure on the quarterback, help your rushers out with, you know, bringing extra guys, and Pepper's a perfect guy to do that. But when you got Peppers covering Cup, that's not good coaching.
Yeah, it's not. It's one of many, many head scratchers to come out of the this game. And it's the same thing week after week after week, which is particularly frustrating. It's almost like they, you know, it reminds me of a few years ago when the coach just kept running the same plays, hoping that eventually it would click. And it was like, dude, it's not working. You don't have the personnel in the right spots. You know, you talk about putting them in the right spots and you're not doing it. And you just sit there and you go, what are you trying to do here? You know, I just don't get it.
I'm at this point, like I said to you, I think last week, like, hey, we got a chance. Let's figure some stuff out, you know, bring some. But now it's just like, nah.
Yeah,
I mean, and I'm that kind of guy. I'm so competitive. Like, I'm not lying to you guys. Like, I literally, if I was at the Giants today, especially seeing the Super Bowl team get paraded out there at halftime, and Coach Coughlin being there, and Eli and Bradshaw, and you know all the guys that were there, it's like, man, I want that. I want to come back for my day. Yeah. I want them to celebrate me.
Yeah.
And right now we're 1-5. So you know what, honey? I'm going to sleep here this week. You're going to take care of the kids and everything. I love you. But, you know, if you want me to keep getting this paycheck, I need to stay here.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't go home. I would shower. I would shave there. I would stay there. I would work until my eyes bled, until I figured it out. It's just not okay. Like, that your job is to perform on the field and you're not getting your team to perform on the field.
All right. So now with that all said, David, how do they fix this going forward? Because it just seems like they're stuck in the mud here. What can they change right away, given the personnel that they have, keeping in mind that they might be losing some guys now on offense due to those injuries? And, you know, what do they basically just have to wait until, you know, either the bye week or until next year to fix?
No, you can't wait. I can't talk about next year yet. There's no way. You can't bait me into talking about next year yet.
All right, let's talk about this year yet. What can they fix right away to get this back on track? What if you had to make a list, if you were going down to Joe Judge's office tomorrow and say, hey, Joe, man, we got to fix this, this, and this, what would be on your list?
12 personnel has to be our personnel package that we come out in, and that's our base. It's our base. Target percentages on offense need to be tight ends targeted 25% of the time. Running has to be 35% of the time. That's 60%. Then the receivers can have 40. If you're, you know, that's what I would do straight out. because there's no sense at all to work the receivers that literally don't know what they're doing and aren't as good as your tight ends and aren't as good as your running backs right now. Go with what's good for you. And that's his tight ends and running backs right now. Okay. And let's ride those horses until the wheels fall off, you know, and then obviously Shepard gets his, and you can throw some to Pettis if you like, whatever. But, you know, for me, it would be that 60% are going to go tight ends and running backs. 12 personnel is going to be our package that we're going to run. We're not going to be an 11 because we just don't have the receivers. If you want to go to something else, go to 21 or go to 22 even. Go heavy, run the ball more. You know, let's get downhill. Let's move people, help our offensive line out, not asking them to pass protect 51 times in a game. You know, run pass needs. If we're going to have, what was the play count today? Really quick, hold on. Play count today, 51 passes and.
Play count was number of plays, right?
50, it was really 15 runs called. Daniel scrambled for three, but in like 51 passes. So all in all, say, you know, there was
73 plays altogether.
73 plays. So yeah. To make math easy on me, we'll just say 70 plays a game, right?
Yeah.
You know, you should be running the ball 35 at least right now. And out of out of the rest of the pass plays, you need to have probably 6 to 8 screens, 4 going to tight ends or a couple going to receivers and the rest going to your backs. And that would be my report. I'd be like, if you want to win this next week, this is what you got to do. And on defense, you got to blitz more. You got to bring pressure. You got to live and die by the pressure right now. I would rather come out of a bar on a stretcher from a fight than watching my girlfriend walk out the door with somebody else because I didn't stand up for her or whatever. You know, like there's just no way about it. Like you don't sit back and take it. And right now Graham's sitting back and letting people do what they want. And you got to go and live and die by the sword, which means just blitz, bring 7. Who cares? Yeah. You know, if you can't get there with 7, you get beat for a touchdown, whatever. Let's go. Live and die by the sword, baby.
And you got a guy who's playing deep a lot anyway, so, you know, you got that covered. But going back to the offense and my pet peeve, who are your best 5 offensive linemen, assuming Andrew Thomas, you know, is going to miss some time, which I have a sick feeling, and I hope I'm wrong, but as we record this on Sunday night, I have a feeling he may miss some time.
Well, I don't believe in the cream puff, and you know that. So if you're asking me the best 5, I'm probably bringing Jackson up off the practice squad at this point because of what I saw in preseason.
Okay.
And I'd play Soldier at left. I'd play Jackson at right.
Jackson, I'm drawing a blank on the name.
Oh, he was the BYU or not? He's the Utah offensive lineman. I got the wrong notes.
You're not thinking of Jackson Barton, are you?
Yeah.
No, Barton. They signed off. The Raiders poached him.
Oh, I didn't even see that. I'm sorry, guys. My fault.
Yeah, I was gonna say if that's who you're talking about. Because yeah, I'm like trying to think who else there could be. Let me see. I'm going to call
up. I apologize. I thought he was still on the practice squad. I missed that transaction. So I apologize.
Nah, it's all good. Let me see who else is on the practice squad. They had Corey Cunningham up. Let's see who's on the practice squad. There we go. That's reserve injured. So they've got Cole Barnmore. They have Devery Hamilton, who I think is a tackle. Corey Cunningham, which we know is a tackle, and Isaiah Wilson, who's the kid that they just signed, but he's not ready. They're still trying to get him into shape. And I would not be surprised if come next year, Wilson challenges for that right tackle spot. I think that's one of the reasons why they brought him in, to maybe challenge Matt Parrott once Nate Solder is no longer here.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's obviously a smart decision because he was the best offensive lineman on the street right now. But you know, we're talking about lining up next week. You know, you can't, I'm sorry, you can't have the cream puff out there. And
well, you got to go out there because what else do they have?
Well, I mean, I guess Cunningham, Corey Cunningham would be the next tackle up. Yeah. And then Parrott can just be up there in case somebody gets hurt. But Soldier, to me, Soldier would be the right, or would be the left tackle. Cunningham would be the left. You got Hernandez, Billy Price, and then Ben Benderson. Is that right?
Yeah, but he's injured. He's been dealing with a hand. And they've been rotating Skira and Wes Martin at that left guard spot. Now, yeah, I don't know if that's because I don't know if Skira's, you know, I know Skira had a knee injury last week, and I think he was limited in practice this week. So that might have been why they rotated those guys. But my guess is, you know, if Andrew Thomas can't go, to me, it makes sense to put Solder at left tackle and pray. Pick either Martin or Skura, whoever's healthy, and put them in there at left guard. Billy Price is your center. Hernandez is your right guard. And I know you don't like him, but you got to go with Parrott. I mean, you know, he got smoked today a few times, but, you know.
Smoked?
He got smoked.
What happened to him? Cheech and Chong would have got high off of. So, yes. You know.
But I'm just saying, you know, look, they've got Pat Flaherty on that staff.
I love Flair.
And if anybody can, look, if anybody can fix somebody on that offensive line, Flaherty can do it. I mean, he's that good. So I don't know. Maybe if you're the you know, the coaching staff, you say to Flaherty, who's there as a consultant, hey, Pat, you're working with the offensive line to help, you know, Wilkerson and Rob Sale this week. That's your assignment. And you were going to continue to help these guys until we get them straightened out, because their run blocking is atrocious. The pass protection this week was just really, really, you know, bad compared to what it's been the last couple of weeks. I mean, you can't have this. I mean, even if you go into a 12 personnel or whatever package you want to run, if your offensive line isn't blocking and your quarterback is running for his life, what's the point? My friend, always great chatting with you. Appreciate all the insight, and it's got to get better. It just has to get better. Fingers crossed. Giant fans, thank you so much for making us your first listen of the day. Tomorrow is a Twitter Tuesday. You know what to do. The address to send your questions is in the show notes, so get those into me ASAP so I can get that recorded, get it out to you, and continue to offer you these therapy sessions in the wake of such crappy Giant football. So, all right, folks. For David Turner, I am Patricia Traynor. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will talk to you tomorrow.